Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We've been studying the Ten Commandments here for the last several months. And Ten Commandments represent the moral law of God, what the basic requirements are for all mankind. They're summarized here in the Ten Commandments. But we need to remember that these commandments were given to God's people, Israel. They were given to His people after He redeemed them from the land of Egypt. He brought them out of slavery. And we are reminded about that in Exodus 20, verse 2, when it says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So these commandments were given to a people that were already redeemed, and they were given as a way to show their obedience, show their love to God. They're not given as a way to salvation, although they show us our sin, but they were given as a way of life for God's people. And so we have looked at each one of those. We're up to the ninth commandment. We're going to consider the truth behind that ninth commandment. And that's found in verse 16 of Exodus chapter 20. And it says, Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Exodus 20, 16. There was once a trial that was going on in the city of South Bend, Indiana. And one of the people that was on the witness stand, a person on the witness stand in this trial, was a football player for Notre Dame. And he was on the witness stand, and he was being questioned by the judge. And the judge asked him, are you a football player? Yes, sir, I am. What position do you play? He said, I'm a center. And the judge said to him, how good of a center are you? And he paused for a moment and he said, well, sir, I'm the best center that has ever played for Notre Dame University. And the coach of the football team happened to be in the courtroom, and he was very taken aback by that because this particular player was usually not that bold. And so he asked him, why did you say that? And the player looked at him and he said, well, sir, I was under oath. I had to tell the truth. And, the subject of the ninth commandment is directly related to telling the truth, especially in a court of law. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The exact situation that that commandment is talking about is a legal context. It's talking about giving a true testimony as a witness in a court. And, it's speaking against what we would call perjury, telling a lie when you're under oath to tell the truth. And if you were to give a testimony, they would swear you in and say, do you promise to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. Or I guess they say, now, do you so swear? Something like that, if you don't want to leave God in the picture there for some people. But the Scripture has a lot to say about the truth, about our responsibility to tell the truth. And I want you to consider three things about this commandment, about what the Bible has to say about telling the truth. And the first thing tonight is I'd like you to consider the basis for telling the truth. One Puritan writer, Thomas Watson, who has written a lot about the Ten Commandments, he said this, there is nothing more contrary to God than a lie. The Bible teaches that God, the character of God, is the basis for telling the truth. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, and there is the prophecy of Balaam. Remember, Balak was trying to get Balaam to curse Israel. And Balak or Balaam could only tell what God had told him to say. And he said in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And then in the New Testament, we're told very clearly in Titus chapter 1, when Paul is writing to Titus about the faith, and he's explaining the basis for that. And he speaks of the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. The basis for telling the truth ultimately comes down to who God is. God is truth. It is not possible for God to tell a lie. And there we have the foundation for the truth of the Scripture. The Scripture comes from God, and therefore it is true, because God cannot speak anything other than the truth. But another part of the basis for telling the truth here has to do with understanding the nature of man. I'd like you to take your Bible and turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Here we have the record of the fall of man, which affected all of mankind. It affects us today. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The fall of man began with a lie. It began with a contradiction of what God had said, a false teaching. What was that? It was the misrepresentation of God's word to Adam and Eve. It was the direct contradiction of God's word to Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:4, ye shall not surely die. Satan is a liar. And Christ calls him that, the father of lies. But it was that lie which led Adam and Eve into sin. There's a story about a so-called pastor, anyway, who was walking down the street, and he came upon a group of boys, and they were all having a conversation about a dog in the middle of them. The pastor walked up and he said, what are you boys doing? He was a little bit afraid they were hurting the dog. And one of the boys said, Well, this dog is just an old stray. We all want him, but only one of us can take him home. So we've decided that whichever one of us can tell the biggest lie will get to keep the dog. And so the pastor said, Wait a minute, boys. You guys should not be lying. Lying is totally unacceptable. In fact, any upstanding person never tells any lies. In fact, I've never told any lies, he said. I just want you guys to stop this and cut it out. And so after he was done, one of the boys spoke up and looked around. And he said, Okay, guys, he gets the dog. All right. The fact of the matter is that the fall led all of us into lies. And we can deny it as much as we want, and we'll still be telling a lie. The Bible says that in Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And so that explains, why I've confronted some very young little girls, and they have cookie all over their face. And I said, Did you eat a cookie? No. Who taught them to do that? Well, no one taught them to do it. It's part of their nature. It's part of their the fall. They got it from me, actually. And I passed that right on to them, that tendency to tell lies. Every person has that tendency. Romans chapter 1 also tells us that this is the problem with every human being on the earth. And really what it boils down to in Romans 1:25 is that we change the truth of God into a lie. People today are denying what God has built into a person even, and what God has written down in His Word for him, for us. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So the basis here for our need to tell the truth is, first of all, the character of God. And then we also have to look into ourselves and realize that we have a tendency to not tell the truth, to indeed bear false witness. So we need to recognize the basis here for telling the truth. And then secondly, tonight, I want you to consider the problems that prevent telling the truth. The problems that prevent telling the truth. The first problem that we see is directly referred to here, as I already mentioned, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And that has to do with perjury. This is a legal context here. And we're reminded that if we are going to have a society that works, a society that functions as it's supposed to, it has to be based on truth. If in the execution of justice we cannot depend upon truth, we cannot have justice. And so, even the people that set up our country understood this basic principle, that we must have truth in the way that our country works, even in the testimony in our courts. And so it's a criminal offense to commit perjury, to testify under oath falsely. And so what a disgrace it is when we see even those who are in the highest offices of the land, and they've done this very thing, and they do not seem to face any sort of punishment for that, perjury. There's another way to bear false witness against somebody that occurs maybe not even in a court of law. The Bible also reminds us that we can bear a false witness about somebody and it never go into a court of law. We can tell a lie about somebody else with a purpose to hurt them and to harm them. That's slander. Slander is another problem that prevents the telling of truth here. The Scripture flatly forbids that sin. Proverbs 6, verse 16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto Him." And then those are all listed, but then in verse 19 it says, "A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." If you look at the Scripture alone, you can see that slander seems to be a favorite tool of the devil. If you go back to the Old Testament, one of the first occasions of this is in 1 Kings chapter 21. There was a queen, and she had a husband who was pouting. And why was he pouting? He was pouting because Naboth would not give up his vineyard. And so Queen Jezebel decided she was going to do something about that. And so that involved the slander of Naboth. In 1 Kings 21, 10, verse 9 says, "She wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on a high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died." She slandered him. Did he commit those sins? No, he did not. But yet, she found two men who were willing to bear a false witness against Naboth so that he would be killed. It wasn't just Naboth that happened to, but we go into the New Testament and we see that our Lord Himself was slandered. Matthew chapter 26, the chief priests and elders and all the council sought a false witness against Jesus to put Him to death, but found none. Yea, and though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Our Lord was slandered. Our Lord had people that rose up and told lies about him. And those lies were used to condemn him to death. And then in the book of Acts, we read about Stephen, one of the first deacons in the church. And the same thing happened to him. Acts chapter 6, verse 11, they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people, and the elders and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place in the law. It's a favorite tool of the devil to have people speak false things against true servants of God. And we read in the pastoral epistles in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the characteristics of the last days, the people in the last days. What are they going to be like? 2 Timothy 3:3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You know, I think that there's probably coming a time that when Christian people are going to be persecuted. And, you know, I'm not a prophet or anything, but I would guess at least that one of the ways that Christians will be persecuted, perhaps in the coming days, is that they will be slandered. Perhaps that we will be slandered. Listen to all the horrible things that that Christian person has done, that pastor has done. All of the things that they should be thrown in jail. That's a tool that Satan likes to use to raise up lies and to cast them before the people of God here. We also need to remember the damage and danger of the sin of slander. Scripture has a lot to say about that. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. There's a story about a lady who was feeling guilty about something she said about her boss. And so she went to her boss and she confessed what she had said, said to other people. And so the boss had an idea for her that she could kind of make up her sin there. And so he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a chicken, and I want you to kill the chicken, and then pluck out all the feathers of the chicken, and then go find the highest building in town, and go up to the top of the building, take all those feathers, and scatter them into the wind. And then I want you to go back and pick up every single one of those feathers. She said, that's impossible. And he was trying to make the point that that's what a person does when they have slandered a person, when they have spoken, when they have passed something on that's not true, or maybe that they haven't confirmed. And what happens? It's like an incurable wound. The words of a talebearer as wounds, they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 26:20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So, you know, there's a lot of damage that giving a false witness about somebody, whether it be in the court of law, whether it be outside of the court of law, it does a lot of damage. But I also want to remind you of the fact that God is aware of that sin. And Psalm 101, verse 5 says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. So there's the consequences that arise just from the sin of slander, and then there is the fact that God is the one who will take the final action, who will bring justice to that. That's something we can take hope in as well. So there's perjury, there's slander. Another problem that the Scripture talks about here is flattery. Proverbs 26:28 says, "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." You say, well, what's the harm in flattery? You say, I'm just trying to be nice to somebody. Well, what's really going on there in flattery? Which, you know, it's one thing to express appreciation about something, but it's another thing to flatter somebody just for the purpose of gaining your own advantage. Just saying something that's not true because of what it will do for you. And the scripture warns us of that. There's also the problem of distorting the truth. There's all sorts of different ways that that can be done. But I think Satan tried to do that to Job when he came before God. And he tried, at least, to raise a question about Job and his character. And he said to God, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Of course, God knows everything about us and knows what is really true, what is really false. But Satan, we see his tactic there, just trying to raise the question about somebody. Just trying to twist the truth in a little way. It's so easy to slip into that. And then another problem that the scripture alludes to is the problem of being silent. You know, it's possible to not tell the truth, but just by not saying anything at all. In Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 1, there's the warning about a witness who remains silent when they should give evidence. And there's the warning about that. We read about actually a positive thing that David did, or rather that Jonathan, David's friend, did. Jonathan's father Saul was ready to kill David. And, you know, Jonathan could have said nothing. "Well, Saul's the king. I'm just not going to say anything at all." But we read in 1 Samuel 19:4, "And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father." You know, what happens when you hear somebody being spoken against, and perhaps you know that that is either unconfirmed or it's not true at all, and you don't say anything? Well, it's a way that you are promoting the falsehood. The scripture exhorts us to speak up, to not remain silent. And so the problems here that prevent telling the truth, there's, you know, the list could go on and on here. But perjury, slander, flattery, distorting the truth, just remaining silent, you know, these are some problems that we need to be on guard against that prevent us from telling the truth. And before we go on from these problems, it's important that we see the penalty that God has for the sin of lying. And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it says, "The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Say, it wasn't that big of a lie. You know, maybe I should have spoke up when I shouldn't have remained silent. Well, I didn't mean to pass that on about somebody. Well, the scripture shows us here that it actually is very serious. It's something that will send a person to eternal hell. It makes a person guilty enough for that. And if that weren't enough, we could turn over to chapter 22 and verse 15. Verse 14 says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." The sin of lying, it's something that God will punish with eternal fire if somebody does not take care of it through the way that God has provided. So the problems that prevent telling the truth. And then finally tonight, we need to consider the practices that promote telling the truth. And I want to ask you to turn again tonight to Ephesians chapter 4. We looked at Ephesians 4 last week. But Ephesians 4 tells us in a simple way about the practices that promote telling the truth. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is explaining the Christian life. And in verse 1 of chapter 4, he gives the theme there, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Paul has just spent the first three chapters of Ephesians explaining the truth of salvation and all that that means and entails. And then beginning in chapter 4, here's what it means to be a Christian, to live a Christian life. And I want you to look down at verse 25. Of Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." The practices that promote telling the truth is simply speaking the truth. And you notice that that involves an initial decision here. Paul says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." And that speaks of a conscious decision. All right, I'm a liar. I've distorted the truth. I have committed slander against somebody. And now I am making the decision. I am putting that off. I am not going to be that kind of person. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. I want you to notice that motivation there. For we are members one of another. Paul is speaking to Christians here. And Christians are members of one another. They are part of a body. And the idea there is that if one member is lying, that affects the whole body. You know, suppose your nose decided that it was going to act up. And suppose your nose smelled smoke in your house. All right, nose smells smoke, but nose decides that he's going to lie to the rest of your body. No, there's no fire anywhere, and so the rest of your body just goes ahead and goes into that room that's filled with fire and smoke. What happens to the whole body? It gets burned. And that's the motivation here, behind lying here. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It affects the whole body when we fail to tell the truth. It doesn't just affect you. It's harmful to other Christians when you are not honest with them, when you lie to them, when you distort the truth to them. It's harmful to them. So speak the truth. God requires honesty in all areas of life. You know, it's not enough just to think, okay, well, I can be honest in this area, and but in this area, I'll tolerate some things at work, but when I'm at home, of course, I'll be honest. God wants you to be honest in all areas, to be a person of integrity, the same person everywhere. But we also need to see that we have a responsibility to tell the truth. To tell the truth. You know, it's possible that somebody might say, you know, boy, I can really cause some problems if I lie. And so I'll just fix this and I'm not going to say anything at all. I'll just just shut my mouth and I won't have to worry about it. You know, that's not an option for a Christian. The Bible tells us that the truth, the ultimate truth that a person could tell, is the truth of God's Word. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." And we have the responsibility to be telling the truth. The ultimate truth that we can tell somebody is that a person is a sinner. You are a liar. You are on your way to hell. But God, in His love for you, has sent Jesus Christ to die for that sin. And if you'll put your faith in Him, if you'll turn from your sin, then you won't have to face that punishment that you truly do deserve. That is the message of truth that we need to tell. God wants us to be not only speakers of the truth, but He wants us to be teachers of the truth. People who are willing to tell others, we have the ultimate truth. Thy word is truth. And to keep silent about that truth is not honoring to God. So the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It's rooted in the character of God. God is truth. God is not a man that he should lie. We need to be aware of the problems that prevent us from telling the truth, and we need to speak the truth and teach the truth. May the Lord help us to be people of truth as we seek to live for Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You would deal with our hearts and help us to recognize our weakness, our tendency to lie and to distort the truth, thinking that we gain some advantage by doing it. But help us, O Lord, to see the tremendous problems that that causes, the dangers that that gives to us. O Lord, we pray that You would help us to confess our failure to tell the truth and to be committed to speaking the truth and to be teaching the truth of Your word. We thank You for the directions that You give to us in Your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take our hymnals tonight, and we're going to turn to